Welcome back to The Short Code. I'm executive producer Dave Etler. Medical student syndrome is a common problem. In 1998, Howes and Salkowskis noted that medical students frequently develop fears and symptoms of illness. This has been termed medical student's disease, nosophobia, hypochondriasis of medical students, and medical studentitis. They cited older studies which had concluded that 70% of med students have groundless medical fears during their training, and that 78% had a history of medical student disease. They surveyed students at Oxford University and found that medical students were actually less aware of bodily sensations or changes and experienced a lower perception of the risk of illness. They also were more likely to think that treatment for their illnesses would be effective. Nevertheless, medical student syndrome is something that students do experience. We got together with a group of students to talk about their own health anxieties.
Hi, I'm Miriam, and today we are going to be talking about medical student hypochondriasis. Presumably anybody who is taking the time to listen to this podcast knows what hypochondria is, but just in case you don't, it's instances where we're sitting in class and hear about some completely absurdly rare one in 2 million or more rare probably issue and assume that we have it. So I'm going to have everybody introduce themselves. Like I said, I'm Miriam.
I'm Robert. I'm an M1.
I'm Sean.
I'm Jay, and I'm an M2.
I'm Mo. I'm the in-house Canadian.
I'm Innie, the M1.
So I think I'm just going to start out by asking whoever feels like it to jump in and tell a story about a time that they heard about something in class and just instantly decided they had it for maybe some minute reason or no reason at all.
Well, I have a story. This is not so much from the med student perspective, because, I mean, I've only been a med student for about 2 or 3 weeks now. But during undergrad, I was taking a lot of medically related courses, one of them being pharmacology. And we spent basically a whole class period talking about blood disorders and kind of, the whole clotting cascade and things that can go wrong. And we spent a lot of time talking about, like, hemophilia, so, you know, failure to clot blood and everything like that. And coincidentally, the next morning, I cut my usually, it stops pretty fast, the bleeding. This didn't stop for probably 12 hours. Like, I just, like, I don't know what was the deal with this little nick that I got shaving, but throughout the day, I just became more and more convinced that I had, you know, hemophilia or just some sort of disorder with my clotting factors.
I think your blood just wanted to annoy you.
Yeah, I was seriously...
very late onset, too, for genetic
seriously
condition.
Concerned.
Suddenly getting separated from your Rasputin.
Yeah, I was even thinking, like, you know, maybe I had some sort of disorder with my platelets or, you know, like, maybe I had some sort of, like, blood, like a cancer or something like that, leukemia or something. I don't know. But it was very concerning, and obviously nothing came of it. But
I'm sorry, this is Dave, and I have a quick question. If you really had hemophilia, what would that look like, do you think? I mean, would blood just be spurting out of your dick, or how does it work?
In my worst nightmare, that's probably what I would imagine, you know, just... You know, blood spurting everywhere, and this obviously I kind of blew way out of proportion. But yeah, that was definitely something I thought of when I heard we were talking about hypochondriasis. So
also, if he had hemophilia, from the brilliant M2 perspective, because we've learned so very much in the past year, he would have known a long time ago, unless he never ever got a cut as a child or anything like that.
Very,
so
very true.
But leukemia is a possibility.
Yeah.
We have somebody else joining our conversation. We'll have her come introduce herself right now. It is the brilliant. Come.
Hi, I'm Emily, and I'm an M2.
Yeah.
Hi, Emily.
I'm very nervous.
She's nervous.
Because she's late.
She's eating lean cuisine. I bet this is going to get edited out, but maybe not. I don't know.
No, I think what you need to do is a play-by-play of
okay, now
everyone's
Emily's
movements.
Sitting down.
Okay. So are we talking about hypochondria?
Yes, we are.
We're trying to instill some kind of claustrophobia in you to see how that works.
I'm so excited.
All right.
Maybe you're the...
So...
Oh, good.
So another really fun kind of hypochondria that you can end up getting either in med school when you're talking about psychiatric issues, or if in undergrad perhaps you were a psychology major or even took intro to psych, is deciding that you're crazy. Which, incidentally, I've read, I have no idea where, it may have been like People magazine or something completely unreliable, Wikipedia.
The respected medical journal.
Yes, the respected medical journal, People.
Was it in the Britney Spears article?
Possibly. Anyway, what I've heard is that like the biggest fear, the most common fear that people have is that they're going to go crazy. So, for example, I sometimes, if I'm, you know, sitting in my room and studying or whatever, and one of my cats meows and it's like a slightly unique meow, I might think that they're like, you know, saying my name or, you know, saying, help me, I'm a human stuck in a cat's body. And I'll go through these very brief periods where I'm fairly confident that I'm psychotic and that nothing is actually happening the way I think it is. I'm not even in med school. I'm like, yeah.
Speaking of hypochondria, there's a hair in this pizza.
Ooh. There we go.
Yeah.
Appetizing.
So,
here's to the hygiene hypothesis, eh?
Well, that's the thing with, you know, mental illnesses or being crazy is that sometimes there's no way to, like, diagnose that. So you could very well be crazy. So that means that you're not a hypochondriac, right?
Exactly.
Because you're actually crazy.
Yeah.
Which I am. So
yeah.
I don't know.
I mean, it's, I'm undiagnosed, but you never know. I mean, I think my cats are actually talking to me.
No, I agree.
Yeah.
I totally agree with you.
How old are you again?
I'm
you live alone, right?
I'm 24.
How many
going on 64?
What?
Crazy cat lady, anybody?
I have a boyfriend.
It's actually her cat. Her cat's her boyfriend.
What's his name, like Mr. Purr or something like that?
His name is Albus.
Just her boyfriend. Sounds like a cat name.
That is my cat, but not my boyfriend. Anyway, does anyone else sometimes feel like they're crazy? Let's hear about a time that you think you're crazy. Ooh, Jason wants to jump in here. He's raising his hand like a good student or something.
I've always been crazy, but it's kept me from going insane.
Nice. Is that a line from a story?
It's a quote from the great philosopher Waylon Jennings. I've been pretty sure I'm crazy for quite a long time. I did tests. They said I wasn't. I think it's all just a plot. Hi, I'm Jason, by the way.
So, have you guys already discussed the fact that in medical school, in our classes, they try to reinforce the medical student syndrome?
No, not really. Go for it.
So, like, in, I don't know, Haas last year, they've done this to us every semester so far, where they say, well, there was this medical student, and he had a bruise on his leg, and it didn't go away, and then it turns out he had DIC, and he was about to die. So they reinforced that every single semester. The semester in FCP1, they said something about, it was like a brain tumor that a medical student had, and they're just reinforcing our hypochondriasis. I feel like
this is true.
I think they like to have fun with us. I mean, if I was a professor, I'd definitely do that all the time.
Same with in PPD, when they're talking about this girl that had appendicitis and how she felt to be a patient. And they're just kind of encouraging that. And there are so many diseases that you get in your 20s, and most of us are in our 20s.
One of which being severe mental illness.
Exactly.
Yes. Yeah.
Yep. And it's also strangely more common in med students, so that's... Just kidding. Depression.
Not to be kind of dark, but I guess something's going to take us down eventually. It's, I don't know where I'm going with this.
You're crazy. That's okay.
Yeah, wait.
Basically, we're not invincible, is what we're learning.
Yeah, which is a hard lesson to learn, yeah, but... We got to be taken down to that part, you know, taken back down to our place. Because, I mean, we're kind of getting a little big-headed. Yeah, we're going to be doctors and all that sort of stuff. But we got to realize, you know, we're still people just like the people we're going to be treating. They're not an objective. We're all in this together, every last one of us.
That was deep.
Thank you.
Something else that I found interesting is that when I actually do get sick, I tend to jump to the most catastrophic conclusion. So, for example, I had a cold this last week, and in our Principles of Infectious Disease class, we've been talking about how if you get a virus, you can end up immunocompromised and then end up getting a catastrophic bacterial infection and becoming septic and dying, or, you know, needing all four limbs amputated in order to not die. So during the past week, while I had a cold, I checked to see whether I had a fever at least once a day, just to make sure that the bacterial infection that I was imagining I had acquired wasn't raging out of control. So I think that's kind of another funny thing is that, like, the more you know, the crazier you get.
No, totally. So it's like a self-fulfilling prophecy almost. Last week in FCP, we talked about medical students and residents and their susceptibility to burning out or getting depressed. And after I saw the list of stuff, I was like, that's me. That's definitely me. Like, I have that, even though I don't think I do. But now I think I do. So,
yeah.
We'll see.
Week two.
Yeah, week two. Yeah, I'm done.
Or, you know, where it seems like everything ends up being cancer. So every time you get sick, you think, oh my gosh, is it cancer? Do I have cancer somewhere? And no, it's a cold, but it might be cancer.
Yeah.
You don't know.
I had an ulcer last year, and I jumped just straight from, you know, it's the first year of med school and you're stressed out, or, you know, you're drinking too much coffee perhaps, to I have Zollinger-Ellison syndrome.
Or alcohol.
And I have a gastrin-secreting tumor in my pancreas, and I'm going to die. Because that was the most reasonable thing.
Or else when it turns out to be diabetes.
Yep.
It's always diabetes.
I totally thought I had diabetes because I pee a lot. Mm-hmm. Turns out I just have a really small bladder. But I thought I had diabetes for a long time.
But is it diabetes or is it cancer?
Diabetes.
Yeah.
Well, the other thing with diabetes is you snack a lot, and I like to snack a lot. So, and if you snack a lot and pee a lot, those are two out of three of the symptoms of diabetes.
Also, I take a lot of caffeine, and I also drink a lot. So,
yeah, there's that.
I
mean, that was the other one. Yeah. Drinking a lot.
Yeah.
I figure there's a lot of things that we could just call diseases and stuff, but sometimes it's a little hard to say when it's just a deviation from normal, which is, you know, all normal. I mean, who's to say what we can define as normal? But then we got, like, things if it starts to cause a problem, I guess we could call it a disorder. Maybe otherwise it's just a tick.
Yeah. I think that's how it works with mental illness, like, when it, or alcoholism or something like that. Well, maybe not alcoholism. But when it just starts to disrupt your life, that's when it's actually a disorder of the mind, as opposed to just a deviation from normal.
But what if you want that disruption?
What if you want the disruption?
Yeah.
Example. I don't know.
I don't know. Look at any the Beat writers or John Coltrane and those people who loved waking up with incredible addictions to heroin or whatever you want, because it opened their mind. They couldn't hold down a family or steady job, but they had an open mind.
Yeah, but those are all just rationalizations to the disease.
True.
So. Yeah, that's what I was gonna say. That's just people convincing themselves they don't have a disease because they wish they didn't.
Yeah.
I want this. Like, I'm glad I have leukemia. It's great. It's opened my mind to what it's like to face mortality. You know. In my mind, that's kind of similar to being like, I'm thrilled I'm addicted to heroin. This is great. No.
Look at all this life experience I'm getting.
Yeah, not going to buy it, not even a little.
What do you guys think of sexual addiction? I mean, that sounds great. I don't know about you.
Well, you can't hold down a relationship, though, so that could lead to problems in the future.
Yeah, that's a good point. That's true.
When it starts interrupting your life, your addiction to porn or your addiction to something else.
Yeah, you totally fail out of med school then. Just thinking about sex all the time.
Yeah. Probably. That's when it's a disorder and you really need help.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, that's what the counseling office is there for.
I think I have
it. Wow.
You like sexual addiction?
TMI.
Heroin addiction? Never seen heroin before, but
sounds I think you have it.
Sounds like a great idea.
No, but on the vein of sex addiction, in undergrad, where I went to undergrad, it was something like 70% of my incoming freshman class listed themselves as pre-health, and this was at another Big Ten school.
You can say which one it was.
No, but then I get a lot of flack from people.
Okay. Iowa State?
It was the University of Michigan, and now every time I say that name, I get a lot of boos around here. But anyways, so the favorite thing that I loved is, despite the fact that every year the University Health Services release actually a whole statistics sheet on sexually transmitted infections, and the fact that I think it's something like only 3% of students will get an STI, sexually active students will get an STI, and of that, like 90% is chlamydia, which is a treatable one, and that's something like I think maybe only like 3 males have ever tested positive for HIV in 25 years on the campus. But regardless of that, I love is how, especially come wintertime when everyone's got their coughs going, how everyone will convince themselves that they're HIV positive after a drunken sexual experience or anything like that, and they'll spend the next 2 weeks freaking out. You know, they get a little bit of a cough or a feverish or something like that.
Well,
I don't know.
At least it's a positive thing that they will get tested, right? Or do they get tested?
Well, no, that's the thing is they don't, because then they're too freaked out and they don't want to confirm it. But really, it's all of a right away, but eventually people do. But it's, I always found it pretty funny that people like to freak out about that. Anybody else have that experience?
Wow.
Well, no.
Somebody just in the field something.
Maybe that's just Michigan and not
anybody. No, anyone else have the experience of their friends freaking out like that? No, you always read about those jokes online and whatnot, but
I have this friend who...
there were just some air quotes going on. I can't see that.
No, but, I went to college in the late 80s, early 90s.
Yes.
And so that was when the whole sort of, the whole fear of all that stuff started. I once did a pharmaceutical study, like an overnight drug study, and one of the tests that they did was an HIV test, right? And my phone was disconnected at the time. And this guy that I knew who worked at the drug study place, the day after I got my test done, he
comes over to my house. He was the bass player in my band, and he's like, "Jason, man,
sorry,
what's going on with your phone? They've been trying to get in touch with you at the drug testing place. Yeah. There's something going on with your blood test." And of course, at that moment, I knew that I had to be HIV positive. Had to be. There was no reason why I should be. but I had to be, and I couldn't go back until the next day, and I was a wreck the whole like evening and into the next day.
Nice friend.
So what was wrong?
My bilirubin was high.
Ooh, somebody's drinking too much.
Turns out it's liver cancer.
Not yet. Working on it
with some Hep C.
Well, as a layperson, the thing that always gets me is, every time I get sick, I turn to the internet and I research my symptoms, whatever, WebMD or whatever. Mm. Everything always leads to cancer or some horrible, horrible illness. So, sometimes I'm like, oh God, I have this. But then I think, you guys, as you guys go out there and treat patients, you're going to be encountering people just like me who went to WebMD and found out they had cancer and then come to you and want your input on this. So maybe what's happening is this is a natural part of your education. You're learning how to be a hypochondriac, how to deal with being a hypochondriac.
Or deal with hypochondriacs.
Oh, sure. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So going back to STDs. I have nothing to do with STDs, and I feel like terrible for considering this a disease, I guess. But I always think I'm pregnant sometimes.
Oh, it's a disease. It's a parasite, actually.
It's a tumor growing in your uterus, right? Okay.
Just let it happen. There's no... Our white coat ceremony speech was like, have your kids now. Well, she was an OBGYN, so it was her own interests and stuff. But if you're afraid of it, might as well let it happen. What's the worst that could happen?
Having a baby in med school?
Sure.
Jay's not had it yet. No, but talking about babies, the whole genetics class, you start freaking out about, my baby could have anencephaly.
And then try being an Ashkenazi Jew, and everything goes out the window. You've got Tay-Sachs, you're going to get breast cancer, ovarian cancer, everything.
Koreans get? Because I think that's what I am.
I think you're good.
Yeah. I'm good?
Okay. I think you're good. As long as you're not Mediterranean or an Ashkenazi Jew.
Or Scandinavian with the cystic fibrosis. Yeah. I'm worried about that.
Well, both of us are screwed then.
That's a good point.
I'm just worried about missing limbs. You guys are all...
Just don't be Irish, then you'll get sunburn a lot.
We gingers are at a disadvantage here.
Tanning doesn't work over here.
Yeah.
Although that's true. If you do WebMD or something, it seems like the things that come up no matter what, if you're a female, are like pregnancy, menstruation or menstrual cramps, or PMS comes up. And
I have crazy PMS, I'm not gonna lie. I really do.
It's fair.
It's like insane.
So when you think you're crazy, what time of the month does this happen?
I'm usually pretty much always crazy, but it like peaks at the time, like right before I like do my lady business, so
can start calculating out the cycle based on how insane you are.
Because I'm pretty sure a lot of women go crazy on a regular schedule.
That's a good idea. Now, when was the last time your lady business happened?
I think that's a much more PC way of putting it. Obviously, patients are going to respond well to that.
Let's see, if you're married, you just go find a good hiding place.
That's something else I think that's funny about medical school and the way you talk to other people about, if someone's like, oh, my head hurts or something like that. My boyfriend, if I say my stomach hurts, will regularly go, well, are you menstruating? I'm like, did you just use the word menstruating? Like, when do you use that outside of the hospital? For him, it's apparently like every week.
Are you angry every
week? No, it's because I have stomach ache or something. I don't know. But I do think that's funny too, is when you start to catch yourself doing it too, just throwing these words into like everyday conversation, and you're like, wow, I'm that person. Like, I'm not saying vomit, I'm saying emesis, or I'm whatever else.
What was that?
Emesis.
Emesis?
Emesis.
Not as descriptive.
Yeah. Last night, last night, I, or my friend, quote, was out drinking, and she had four episodes of Emesis this morning.
I like Hurl or Upchuck, Barf.
Emesis sounds like the name of like a black metal band.
Yes, it does.
Oh, you know what? You just gave me an idea. Rock on.
Is it like Nemesis without the N? Emesis?
Yeah. Emesis can be your nemesis.
I learned something new today. I mean, it's like been, you know, 2 weeks of med school. I guess it's like kind of weird to even consider myself a short coat. It's like a super, super short coat. Like a white crop top,
Don't worry. You'll get it all through experience. Just take your time. But you have no idea what you're in for.
Yeah. I think I do. That's the problem. Hope is out the window.
You're in for leukemia, perhaps, or any number of things that you're going to learn about.
Yes, exactly.
Like spontaneously developing Marfan syndrome, like I did my freshman year.
Dude, I'm going to play volleyball then. That's what I'm going to do.
Yeah, right.
Going to gymnastics.
I do always like when my friends will come to me asking about something, and they're like, yeah, so I looked online, and it said that I might have, for example, Marfan syndrome, and I don't know why. This just started, and I, you know, you have to sit there and, like, try to think of a way of responding without being condescending and saying,
no.
You acquired a mutation in all of your genes in all of the cells in your body.
And you say, hey, you're 5'3". I don't think you have more friends.
Yeah.
And you weigh 200 pounds,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Well, that's the same in genetics when they're talking about Turners and how the females are very short, and all the short people look around and go, God, I probably have Turners.
Like, is my neck webbed?
Yeah.
Is it webbed? I don't know.
I thought I had Turners once.
Too short.
That's a joke.
Women. Okay, good.
You can't see this, but I'm 6'5", so.
And it's also only women.
And you have a Y chromosome, so women. I think you're safe.
This is a silly idea, but let's go around the room and say our most common self-diagnosis, because I feel like I have one thing that I diagnose myself with on, like, you know, a weekly basis, but I'm not going to say it until it's my turn.
And how about you start?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, I have appendicitis like every week. It's usually just gas, but...
good point. Yeah.
Yeah, I always think I have appendicitis. And
that was Miriam speaking, not Sean.
Yeah, Miriam Wiener has gas sometimes.
Every week,
Every week I have gas. It's okay, though. I drink a lot of coffee.
Standing upwind is usually a good solution.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, so I generally think I have appendicitis. Next.
Right, Robert.
Yeah. I'm trying to think. You know, for a while, I was... my dad was a psychiatric nurse for quite a number of years. And, you know, so I got a lot of the history of a lot of psychiatric disorders. And for a while, not so much anymore, but a lot of my adolescent years, I was convinced that I was destined to develop schizophrenia. Like, you know, I was like, well, I do sometimes talk to myself. And, you know, I was, like, basically trying to trick myself into thinking I had the beginnings of schizophrenia. But, I don't know, that's kind of subsided now. And, I mean, I guess I'm doing pretty well. Like I said, I'm only 2.5 weeks
in. We're doing pretty well.
He's well medicated.
So I'm sure I'm destined for many more hypochondriasis-related issues.
Well, you just have to be careful about which of the leprechauns in your head you listen to.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I've got multiple, but there's one that kind of keeps me going down the right track.
It's the most unassuming ones that are crazy. You guys might not know Robert, but
yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I want to look for the northern Irish accent, the northern one.
All right, so a year ago, I actually had, I hadn't had my wisdom teeth pulled yet, and my family, we actually, gingivitis, easily onset gingivitis, runs in my family. So I happened to get gingivitis with my wisdom teeth impacted, and for those of you who've never had that, I could not even drink water unless I was on codeine until I got, and I was on the wrong antibiotics first, so I was bedridden for 2 weeks and lost 25 pounds in 2 weeks because I could only drink water.
Sweet.
Anyways, so anytime I miss a flossing, I freak out and think I have gingivitis. So it's pretty bad. It's always in the forefront of my mind. Just please, everybody floss. Just don't ever have that and make your life a lot easier.
Thank you.
Good advice.
Wow.
Very powerful story.
You don't want to have to be taking codeine to drink water.
Defect to dentistry.
Emily?
I just have a medical question. So if you're taking codeine, doesn't that, how do you take that with no food? Doesn't codeine go with food?
I don't know. I don't know. I'm a big guy.
Just kidding.
I have the one in farm.
Yeah. I don't know.
No, I mean,
I don't know why I know. Well, I know this because I had my wisdom teeth out. Taking codeine with food makes it less likely to make you really nauseous.
Yeah.
But you can take it without.
I don't know that I have any interesting ones. I mean, you always think you have a brain tumor. Or at least I do. I think I have brain tumor or the social disorders like borderline or bipolar. Although I don't have bipolar and I knew someone with bipolar, you kind of begin to realize that that day I was a very up day. I was feeling even quote unquote manic. And that's a buzzword for bipolar, but right. I'm not bipolar. This day I was very up and this day I was very down. But bipolar is very extreme. Like you will get in your truck and go gamble all of your money away just on a whim and then you'll...
You know there's a gradient, right?
Yeah.
You're just on the lower end right there.
Yeah.
Well, I think it also the episodes I've been told last like longer than like a day. Like
yeah.
Usually they're weeks at a time.
Could be a high cycler though. So.
Yeah, you never know.
That is one of those things that gets a little bit annoying after you've been in med schools when people start diagnosing themselves with like psychiatric things. Like if they like yell at somebody and then are nice and they're like, oh, I'm bipolar. And you're like, you're misdiagnosing yourself there dramatically. You're just a female dog.
Well, yeah.
you just have an issue with rage all.
Yeah.
Yeah, rage. And then there's when they're describing the issues in class, like, the characteristics of this, I think, borderline is you have a lot of short relationships that don't really last, and then you start examining all of your relationships, and you go, well, how long? I haven't had very many long relationships, and am I getting out of these relationships because I'm mentally... I have some kind of imbalance or what, but that's why we have the counseling center.
Exactly.
All right, Jay. Or no, Jason. We skipped Jason.
Oh, gosh.
See, I'm the non-medical person, but I'm providing the context here because I have been hypochondriac for most of my life. I think it started, I'm going to blame my mother. Thank you, Mr. Freud. When she told me that if I ate too many candy bars, I would get diabetes. Okay? Because I used to get...
Did she say diabetes?
No, she said the sugar.
You gotta get the sugar.
It was West Virginia, after all.
I'm not sure she meant diabetes.
18 minute candy bars, you're going to get the sugar, boy. So,
now eat this coon stew.
Sorry, Mom. That was a joke. No, but I thought I had diabetes. Let's see. Oh, man.
Did she used to check your urine? Like, did she taste it?
No.
Okay. Oh.
That's how they used to do it, right? Back in the day.
Yeah.
I'm not even kidding.
Yeah. Sweet like lemonade. Anyway. You started it, Ian. You started it.
It's a medical procedure from way back when.
But, I mean... Recently, I thought I had many things. This morning, I thought I had some sort of kidney stone. I don't know.
Why?
Because my back over here on the left side hurt. I thought, testicular cancer. I mean,
myasthenia gravis.
I don't know what that is, but I probably did have it. So many things. I'm wondering if, it's one of those things where, like, you read a lot of books, you learn a lot of stuff, and so, med school, you're learning tons of stuff about a specific thing, so it's probably aggravated to a certain extent. But, man, the more I learned, the more I thought I was totally insane. So, yeah.
So, I guess two different things. You develop a cough. I mean, even when it's cold and flu season in January or February or whatever, and, you've been, anywhere near a hospital, you start thinking of tuberculosis for some reason, even though you're not near anyone that has it or anyone that...
The consumption.
The consumption.
But then you get your TB test and it's positive.
Yeah. And then you start freaking out. Oh, my God.
Wait, why consumption, though?
I don't know.
That's
what they called it. It's like how they used to test.
It's fatal.
Consumption is the old English word,
Oh, that's tuberculosis. Yeah, okay, like putting two together. Okay.
What's her name?
Yeah, that's what the English used to call it. Yeah. Consumption.
Consumption. So you have that.
So Jay's got it.
Yeah, and then... it's pretty obvious that to those of you who can see me that I'm a ginger. So skin cancer.
Mm-hmm.
I'm always worried about skin cancer. And I look at my moles and freckles and things. Like, all right, has that one changed? No, that one looks different. Maybe. No.
He's fine.
That's mine. Yeah.
Then when you stare at them too long, they start to morph.
Yeah.
And get like wavy.
One starts looking like Abraham Lincoln. And another one looks like Florida or something. You're like, oh, what is that?
All right, Mo.
And they start to blink on and off, and you realize, wait, did I just have a mole over there, or what's over there?
Wow.
And back to the issue of psychiatric problems.
Anyway.
All right, Mo, let's hear about yours.
Well, I tend to think I got Lyme disease or something. Ooh. I'm in the woods a lot, and what I like to do, I'll, like, lay down, like, in front of a tree just at a random spot, and, like, an hour or two passes, and I'm like, what's that tickling on my arm? And it's always a tick, and I'm like, ah, damn it. So I always think I have Lyme disease or something, but I don't know, nothing happened.
Did you ever have a circular rash?
No.
Like a target?
No bullseye rash.
I had a really big mosquito bite, and I knew it was a mosquito bite.
Yeah.
But it had like it was red with white around it and then red around it, and I was
going,
clearly I have Lyme disease.
Sounds like that might be the consumption.
Really?
Psychiatric diseases.
It's appendicitis, actually.
Yeah.
Oh.
Kidney failure. Kidney failure.
Yeah. All right, me. Let's see. Well, I'm perfect, so I don't have any problems. I'm just kidding. I just can't think of anything on the spot right now because everyone took all the juicy stuff. Mm. But I will say.
Well, you did say you think you're pregnant.
Yeah, sometimes. You know, if it's a little irregular, mm-hmm. even though my boyfriend's not even here, I just, for some reason,
immaculate.
I just like immaculate yep. conception, exactly.
He just so that's missed one. You so much. He thought he just his sperm into your my vagina.
Okay.
Those are some powerful swimmers.
All right, so I think there's another thing that we could call hypochondria by proxy, which is where you start to think other people have things. So my dad is an oncologist, and when we were kids, we would, you know, go to him if we had anything wrong with us, and he never thought there was anything wrong, you know, like, we would never have the flu, it was just some other virus, and we'd never have broken leg, just twisted it funny, and it's turned the wrong way now. But anything that could maybe be cancer was cancer. Checks all of our moles all the time still. I mean, I'm a grown woman. I can check my own moles. But no, my dad needs to check and make sure that I haven't developed cancer. And it's interesting because he doesn't think that any of his family members ever have anything except cancer. So do any of you get like that with your friends or have someone who's like that with you? That might have been a really bad prompt.
Unfortunately, that doesn't happen with me or any of my friends.
Wow. Again.
My friends don't know anything about medicine, so that's why. It's not even worth it if I start to think about it.
Yeah, my family likes to diagnose me with a bunch of different stuff, but yeah, screw it. I'm just different.
Like what? Your wife.
What, she thinks I have diseases? I know. Or that I think she has diseases.
Both. Let's hear about
it. It cuts both ways. I don't know. I'm pretty sure. Pretty sure she thinks I have a rage problem. And
that's a surprise. Wow. I can't see that.
Yeah, Jay's wife is a psychiatrist.
is she really?
She's a resident.
She's a resident. Yeah. Oh, wow.
And I'm pretty sure she's insane. So, you know, it works either way. Yeah. Plus she's got that whole, you know, tumor growing in her belly.
Yeah, that's bad.
Yeah.
Parasitic.
That's bad. I will tell you.
Better hope your kid never hears you call him a tumor or not find this podcast.
So, what is 16, 17 weeks old now? They can hear 15 weeks. So, I think he or she pretty much knows.
Censoring yourself.
Knows their dad's a jerk. That's what the kid knows.
No, they know dad is fun because dad doesn't have any discipline.
And dad likes dad likes
Wait,
to call
so Darby's
baby
already
tumor.
Scolding the child?
She scolds
Stop
the pets,
kicking.
So it's... She's a disciplinarian. I'm the guy that'll get them ice cream. And
nice.
A cookie.
And diabetes.
You could discipline them if you throw the ice cream at them.
Yeah.
Does that mean you're going to taste their urine, too?
Yeah, I'm going to defer that one on to someone else.
My dog. Has diabetes.
She pees a lot? It pees a lot?
Oh, no, she has diabetes. She got it diagnosed at the vet, actually. Yeah, and then they tried to get me to give her insulin. And, I mean, I'm sorry. I love my cat. I really do. I have two cats. I'm on my way to be an old cat lady. But there's no way on earth or anywhere else that I'm going to give my cat a shot every day of insulin. She's 14 years old. She can go in peace in a nice hyperglycemic state of euphoria. So, yeah, cat is not getting insulin shots.
Yeah, I actually, since learning about, just more general medical things, I did kind of retrospect, I don't know if that's the right word, diagnose my old family dog with either liver failure or maybe like liver cancer or something like that. Well, she spent a good part of her 7 years of life eating a lot of sugary things that she should not have, and basically just stressing her whole digestive system. And so when she was getting really sick, she started getting really jaundiced around the eyes and her gums and everything. So knowing what I know now, I was like, well, she probably had a definite liver issue. So I guess that was one way that I could kind of like diagnose, yeah. Not people around me, but animals, I guess.
People.
Was
people.
She an IV people. Drug user? Yes.
You know, I didn't keep tabs on her all the time, so I can't be sure.
Right, just checking.
You know, she did exhibit some behaviors kind of reminiscent of, like, addictive personalities, but, you know, I think that was more just, like, the cookies sitting on the counter or the raw chicken breasts, you know, that she would go for. So
we have to go to class soon, so I think we should probably wrap this up. Does anybody have any final words of wisdom about medical student hypochondriasis, how to avoid it, how to bask in it?
I think just accept it. It's you. Own it, like Miriam owns her farts.
Hey, I'm not that gassy. I'm not that gassy, everybody.
Wow.
Seriously.
I don't know, I'm sitting next to her and...
Oh!
Just kidding.
It's a little hat. Oh, God.
I agree. Just, don't let things worry about it. I mean, there's plenty of stuff that you're going to worry about in life that'll never, ever happen, and you might lose sight of, you know, what's more important and stuff. So just relax, enjoy the ride, try and, you know, do good for yourself, do good for others, more importantly. And, thanks a lot for having us.
All right.
See you next time.
And now a word from our medical student government president. Is that the right way to refer to you, Amy?
It's Madam President,
Madam,
actually.
Madam Medical Student Government President, Amy Domeyer-Klinsky.
Hello, student body. Just here this with the monthly Carver College of Medicine student government report. What do you want to know, Dave?
I'd like to know what you all have been up to, because from the outside, it doesn't look like you've been doing anything.
Well, actually, we're doing a lot.
Awesome. Let's hear about it.
So one thing that we're working on right now, coming soon.
Is that the perception that you don't do anything? That
probably.
Okay. Well, we're gonna put that to rest. Go.
Also, student body, I send you emails, and you should read them. Because they contain lots of information about what we are doing.
Awesome.
At this very moment.
Awesome.
So coming soon to a vending machine near you are ID card swipers, so that if you get your craving for your Diet Coke, you can just run down and you don't have to borrow $1.60 or whatever the price is now to get yourself some, you know, bubbly refreshment.
I don't like it.
Why not?
It's gonna make me fat again.
Diet Coke, Dave.
Okay, sorry. All right. All right, that sounds good.
Also, we are working to improve student parking options. Last year, we sent out a survey to students asking for ideas about how to improve parking around the area. So we worked on a document, and we are editing that, and we'll be submitting it to the parking officials in the near future. Things we could hope for would perhaps be increasing the amount of time that you could park at a metered spot outside of Murph, or maybe decreasing the time that those, like, so say 5 o'clock, they wouldn't have requirements for you to slide your change in or what have you. So all things that we're working on, cross your fingers that they like our proposal.
All right. Yeah, because half an hour at the meter, you can't do much in a half.
Well, it's an hour. But if you're going to a lecture.
Oh my God.
Okay.
Know,
and you're 5 minutes late and you get back to your car and you have a ticket. Stupid.
All right. What do you want them to bring it to? Like,
2 hours.
6 hours?
I don't know.
No, 2 hours would be good, right? Because then you could at least... Yeah, okay. All right, that sounds good.
Yeah, all good things.
What's next?
So, another thing we have, student government is providing cash money to student groups who... To student groups who submit their budget to Miss Kendra Frush, our treasurer, and sign up for OrgSync. That's the university's way to transfer money and request funds from student government. And then also, you just need to show that you don't have, you know, some other funding source that's like sliding you Benjamins.
A little extra money on the side. What is OrgSync? OrgSync is, what is it, orgsync.org? Orgsync.edu?
Orgsync.com, and then you select University of Iowa and you go through the steps to sign up. But Kendra, for Fresh.
Oh, she'll probably send you all the deets, right?
Kendra Fresh. Yep, she will send you all the info, but you can get $75.
Whoa.
We've had 4 student groups sign up, and it's a great thing. And, you know, we can provide food for meetings and what have you. If you have other funding requests for things other than food, you can go to the ECGPS website. That's E as in Emily, C as in Cookie. ECGPS website.
Right.
And they have places for you to request funding for other events. Food generally is denied, though. So if you have food requests, send them our way.
So food from OrgSync, but...
Well, actually, everything goes through OrgSync.
Oh, okay. All right. Sorry. I know. I didn't mean to confuse the issue. Just get in touch with...
Kendra Fresh.
Kendra Fresh. She'll take care of you. She'll hook you up.
She's the lady for your money.
All right.
So a couple more things, 2 more things, really. One, the Constitution is...
We don't need a countdown of the things, by the way. You can just...
The Carver College of Medicine Student Government Constitution is in need of ratification. Dun, dun, dun.
We really should have a soundtrack for this, because that sounded like we needed some swelling music there.
So basically what that means is we just made some changes to the Constitution that the Executive Council has ratified. So be on the lookout. Remember how I said, read my emails? Read my email, because this should come to you, and you need to go read through the changes, and if you agree with them, which I hope you do, you should vote yes.
What's the most radical change? What's the most radical change?
Put you on the spot here. We added a diversity committee.
Get out.
Yeah, so that's a whole new thing. Also, we added sort of policies and procedures regarding elections, so they are fair and balanced and, you know, useful and reasonable for all students.
All right, because before it was like a totalitarian regime, but now they're
also
all fair and balanced.
I added a stipend for myself into the Constitution.
Excellent. I was wondering.
So you should really go online and check about that, because if you just vote yes, you never know what's in there.
It's only $1.50. All right.
That's a lie. There's no stipend.
All right.
Unfortunately. But if you want one, hey, if you want the student body president to get some extra cash,
that's
you
right.
Go talk to your favorite OSAC dean.
That's okay.
Okay, last thing. Medical Student Grand Rounds is starting this year. So
I think this is an exciting thing that you're doing, that you guys are doing.
I think it's really cool. So basically, the communities are working on this. The first one's going to be on October 11th, and Bullware is hosting. It's at 12:30 in Ziffrin Auditorium. It's open to Bullware members, so Bullware M1s and M2s, and all M3s and M4s. So if you're an M3 or an M4 and you're in the hospital, make your way to Ziffrin Auditorium at 12:30 on the 11th. Melanie Meister and OBGYN fellow Dr. Jonah Rushing are going to be talking about preeclampsia, and there's going to be other people there talking also about the basic science applications to this clinical case and things of that nature. So it should be very exciting. It's a great way for all M1s through M4s to get together, and, you know, maybe you can have some integration.
All right.
It'll be great.
That sounds cool.
I mean, I need to talk to more M1s, so I'm excited for this.
Awesome. How often are you going to do these grand rounds things?
Well, there will be one per community per year this year.
Okay.
And then if it's great and students love it, maybe we can do 2 per community.
So 4 times a year at the start.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and M3s and M4s will be invited to all of them. Don't worry if you're a Bean, a McCowan, or a Phlox. Your turn is coming up if you're an M1 or M2. This one's just for Bullware M1s and M2s. But November will be Phlox, February's McCowan, and my favorite Bean is in April.
Well, thank you very much then, Madam President. Thanks for coming.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to The Short Coat. The Short Coat is produced by the Writing and Humanities Program at the University of Iowa Carver College of Medicine, with support from Medical Student Government. You can visit us online at theshortcoat.com, you can find us on Facebook, and you can follow us on Twitter, where we're known as The Short Coat. We also take comments and story ideas and the occasional rant from you, our listeners, via email at theshortcoats@gmail.com, or leave us a message at 347-SHORT-CT, that's 347-746-7828. That's also where you can submit a question for our advice segment, The Short Couch. The executive producers are Jason T. Lewis and David T. Etler. Our theme music is by Revolution Void from the album Increase the Dosage. Find them at www.revolutionvoid.com.